If you tune into a National Football League game this weekend, consider this. Just about every player on the field is playing hurt. At a time when healthcare reform is on everyone's mind, the health of football's combatants is getting more attention, too. And our own sports commentator, Stefan Fatsis, contributed to that conversation this week with an editorial page column in the New York Times. Stefan Fatsis joins me now, as he does most Fridays. And Stefan, in that piece in the Times, you suggest several reforms. What are you talking about?
Well, I think the basic setup of how the NFL provides health care to players needs to change. And it can, because the league and the players' union are entering into collective bargaining talks. First and foremost, trainers and physicians are employed directly by each of the NFL's 32 teams. That care is extensive. It's excellent sometimes, but teams want to protect their investment, the players. So there are inherent conflicts here because the goal is to get players back on the field as quickly as possible. And sometimes that means sacrificing what in the outside world would be considered safe or proper treatment and recovery.
And so what would they do about this? Hire outside doctors?
Yeah, well, I think the league and the players' union should jointly select and oversee medical staffs, and it should bar sponsorships by radiology clinics or physical therapists that are often made in exchange for services. If you take away the oversight role from the team, maybe the doctors and trainers won't worry about protecting their jobs, meaning by getting players on the field as quickly as possible, and they could focus on the players' health a little bit more directly. And then players might have more confidence in the team trainers and doctors, which many do not now.
You note something interesting in your piece. You note that team doctors need to inform players about their injuries before anyone else. That's not happening.
No. Players often learn what's wrong with them after the head coach or the general manager or even the team owner learns what's wrong with them. We'd never tolerate that lack of basic doctor-patient confidentiality in the real world, but it's commonplace in the NFL. Similarly, under current guidelines, NFL players are allowed to examine their medical records just twice a year. They should be able to do that whenever they want.
Ultimately, though, we're talking about football. It's a brutal sport. It's, you know, pain is part of the game here. Realistically, how much can the league and the union actually do?
You know, Malcolm Gladwell has a piece in the current issue of The New Yorker magazine that kind of oddly compares football with dogfighting and seems to ask whether, as a society, we should reexamine the morality of football. But he does rightly conclude that the game isn't going anywhere. No one's going to ban football because some retired players are developing memory loss in their 30s and 40s. Unlike pit bulls, players choose to play this game. But the league can require teams to report every last injury so that it can identify trends and take preventive steps in terms of rules and training methods. Equipment, it's left to the player's discretion. It's considered a comfort issue. The NFL and the union can mandate that players wear the newest, most technologically advanced helmets and padding, then tailor the requirements for what players have to wear by what position they play.
Stefan, we can't talk about football without looking back on what was the biggest football story of the week, Rush Limbaugh's failed bid to become part owner of the St. Louis Rams. What does this story and its outcome tell us about the way NFL teams are bought and sold?
You know, what's interesting here is how NFL teams and most professional sports teams now are really very often purchased by collectives. There aren't enough billionaires out there, single people that can just plunk down $700, $800 million, $900 million to buy a pro sports franchise. There's been a recession in sports. A lot of teams are on the market, but there aren't as many buyers out there. So you are seeing more groups get together to try to make purchases like this. So it does become a little more risky, volatile, when you need to bring people in who have money. When one of them is a public personality like Rush Limbaugh, it can explode and affect a bid.
Thank you, Stefan. Have a good weekend.
You too, Michelle. Thanks.
That's Stefan Fatsis. He's the author of A Few Seconds of Panic, A Sports Writer Plays in the NFL. You can follow him on Twitter at Stefan Fatsis.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.